Good morning, everyone. It's wonderful to be with you again.
Hello, everyone. Aloha. Gary and I just got back from Maui, Hawaii, and we're bringing you a little aloha energy because it's just so really nurturing and special for us to go there, and we want to send that energy out to you, too.
Today, we have a special topic to discuss with you, and that topic is integrity.
You know, can I say, I just want to say one thing, beloved, about that. I mean, it's about integrity too, I feel. Everything is. So what I wanted to say is that Gary and I, while we were in Maui, we were with our friend Ramdas, and we just actually celebrated with him the 18th anniversary of his stroke. He had a major stroke 18 years ago, and it's just amazing to be with him and celebrating with him. Something that most people would think is really not a good thing to have happen, but he's used it in his life to really learn so much more about himself for these last 18 years. And so it's a real joy to be able to celebrate with him what he's learned and all the things that have happened with him over these years.
Yes, indeed it was. And now I'm going to ask you, what would that have to do with integrity? Mm-hmm. Because we're going to discuss that now. Ramdas told us that the two things that contributed most to his spiritual development were, number one, being thrown out of Harvard. He was a professor there. And because of his experiments with mind-expanding or psychedelic drugs, he was asked to leave. Now, he felt he was on top of the world at that time. And yet he can look back on that now and say that being asked to leave, at that time he was Richard Alpert, not Ram Dass. He had not yet gone to India. He can look back on that time and say that was one of the most influential experiences in his spiritual development. Mm-hmm. And you know what the other one was? Having a stroke 18 years ago, a stroke that his friends didn't think he would live through. They were all wondering if he would still be alive at the end of the week. Well, it was yesterday or the day before, we celebrated the 18th anniversary of that, and there was a lot of celebration and a lot of gaiety and humor. In fact, the host called it Stroke Day. So now we're talking to you about integrity. What could Ram Dass have meant when he said that having a stroke and being thrown out of Harvard, which at the time he thought was the pinnacle achievement of his life, what does that have to do with integrity? So we're not going to talk to you about integrity from the point of view of the five senses, the point of view of living up to your word, the point of view of ethics and morality. We're going to talk to you about integrity from a multi-sensory perspective. From a multi-sensory perspective, there's no such thing as right and wrong, because no matter what you choose and what you do, there is learning in it for you. Now, I'm not suggesting that you do anything criminal or that you do anything that betrays your trust or the trust that someone else, I mean, has put in you. Mm-hmm. But still, from a multi-sensory perspective, what is the difference? Mm-hmm. Let's look at power from a multi-sensory perspective. It is the alignment of the personality with the soul. And to do that requires that you find all of the parts of your personality that aren't aligned with your soul. All of the parts of your personality, in other words, that are not loving, that don't care for harmony or cooperation or sharing. They've got their own agendas. Find them and keep them from blocking you from your love, preventing you from creating authentic power, because they control you and you unconsciously react to them. When you have both frightened parts of your personality active sometimes and loving parts, that's the experience of a splintered personality. A splintered personality has no integrity. It's not integral. Part of you wants to blame somebody, and another part of you says, yeah, but I want to use this experience to grow spiritually, and you are splintered. When you are aware that a frightened part of your personality is active, and you are aware that the loving parts of your personality would prefer to address the issue or the person in a different way, you have entered the dynamic of temptation. Temptation shows you what a frightened part of your personality is planning to do and will do if you don't decide otherwise. Temptation is the universe's gracious way of giving you a dry run, a dress rehearsal at the creation of a negative or a painful karmic event. Now suppose you say, I don't care, I'm going to embezzle this $400,000. Well, you've broken the law, you've ruined a relationship for sure, but more than that, you have allowed a frightened part of your personality to control your deeds and your actions. Mm-hmm. The intention of a frightened part of your personality always originates in fear, because the frightened parts of your personality come from fear. That means you've chosen to act in fear. You've chosen to create with deed and with word with the intention of fear behind them. And you have created a painful karmic consequence that you will encounter. How is that being out of your integrity? It's being out of your integrity because you haven't chosen to challenge that fright of your, that part, that frightened part of your personality. You've chosen to cultivate it instead. You've chosen to act on it, and your personality remains splintered, out of integrity. Integral means whole. So from a multisensory perspective, being in integrity means choosing to act or speak from a loving part of your personality, even when a frightened part of your personality is active.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it? That really sounds familiar.
It should by now, because everyone who's in the life school and everyone who's in the master class should be acquainted or very familiar with creating authentic power. There's different ways to describe authentic power. The experience of authentic power, by the way, is one of joy, fulfillment, buoyancy, vitality, creativity. You know you're alive for a reason, and you know that that reason has to do with, and you know that what you're doing has to do with that reason. Now, let's go one more step into integrity.
Can I give a couple of examples first, or do you think?
Sure.
Okay, I was just thinking that there are a few things, as Gary and I have been talking about integrity and meditating about it, I wanted to share with you some examples from my own life of being in integrity and what that took for me. One example, I'll give you several. A long time ago, I was going out with this guy, and what I noticed, we were supposed to be going out, I should say, but every time we would go, make a date to go out, he would call me up, or call me late, or not call me at all, and never come out with me. And so I had a choice. I could have been really angry with him, and I made him wrong, and blamed him, and that is actually what I was doing at first. And then I had this insight, before I knew anything about authentic power, I had this insight that, oh, okay, so that's what he does, that's what he wants to do, but that's not what I want to do. So I told him, you know, I really like you, but I don't want to go out on a date with you anymore. But if I happen to see you somewhere at a coffee shop or at school or wherever, we can hang out for a little bit. But other than that, I didn't want to have any, you know, I didn't want to make any plans with him. I didn't know what his issues were, but it didn't really matter to me. I realized that I wanted to stop blaming him. I didn't want any more to make him wrong or blame him, but I wanted to do what I needed to do. And so after feeling pain for a while, I came to what I really needed to do for myself, to be in integrity with myself and be in integrity with him as well. So I didn't have any attachment to what he did anymore because I did what I needed to do. And I also...
What did you do?
I told him I didn't
you
want...
told him that's
I told
it.
Him I didn't want to see him anymore,
right.
For any planned activity. So we didn't do that anymore. And it was great. It was really... that was a simple example. But there have been many in my life that have been much more... that started out with really strong frightened parts of my personality active. And not knowing what would happen and having to say things and do things that were in my own integrity, but I had no idea what would happen because of it. And I'm going to give you another example.
Well, let's stay with this one just for a moment.
Okay.
From a 5th century perspective, people would say that fellow was out of integrity.
Mm-hmm.
He called you, he said he would do something, and then he didn't do it.
Mm.
But from a multi-sensory perspective, the issue is not about the other person.
No.
The issue is about you.
Right.
The issue is about your emotional experiences. And in this case, Linda was having a painful emotional experience.
I was.
So she
and blaming was, him and thoughts and all
and
that.
And so she knows now that that was a frightened part of her personality. So what she did was to respond to that painful emotional experience instead of react to it, which she initially did.
Right.
And that's what created integrity. In other words, she chose to respond from a loving part of her personality.
I did. And I didn't, every time I saw him, I was happy to see him, but I just didn't want to do anything with him anymore because I knew he couldn't do that in a good way.
And by the way, we're speaking more loudly than usual because we're having some audio challenges here, and I hope that you'll be able to hear us.
Yes, I hope you can hear. I just remembered I wasn't speaking as loud as I would like to. So
here, may I give an example, beloved?
Yes, I'd love to hear.
Our first event that Linda created for us together was in the neighborhood of Mount Shasta, California, and we were really very new at this, and we had a co-presenter that we were enjoying being with. And every time something would come up in the event, people would come to us, to Linda or me, and they would tell us about something. And we would always say, take it to the circle.
Right.
Take it to the circle. Don't just tell me. Now, the very last...
Because we want to learn from it. We want what our intention was to create authentic power at this event.
Now, at the very last day, someone came and said, your co-presenter is, hitting on the women here. He is trying to get a relationship and maybe a sexual relationship with some of the women. Now, what was I going to do? Because I'd been telling everyone all week long, take it to the circle. But this was our last night, and this was our first event, and we were very new at this. And I wanted everyone to leave the event with a good feeling, new age, kind of uplifted experience. Although I knew they'd probably forget about the retreat in a few weeks or a few days if that's all they got out of it was a good feeling experience. But I also knew that I needed to talk to my co-presenter about this issue. And it was frightening to me to do that. In other words, a frightened part of my personality was active. So I decided to bring it up to him in the circle, but in a way that was non-accusatory, because number one, I didn't know if it was true or not. It was only what some people had told me. And the second reason was I didn't want to have any distance between him and me. And I was beginning to feel it because a frightened part of my personality was judging him as if these things were true. So I did bring it up in the circle. And it caused a huge reaction, to say the least. Not in our co-presenter. He was calm throughout the entire thing. But the thing was that everyone in the circle reacted. Some people got angry, some people got anxious. One person kept putting his shoes on and taking his shoes off. But this is an example of acting in integrity. It was necessary for me because I didn't want to feel the distance I was feeling from my co-presenter. And also, I wanted to ask him in the circle if this was so or not, and what he had to say about it. So that was an example of integrity for me. Had I decided that I wouldn't say anything about it, I would let it go as big as it was, because I wanted to have a pleasant last evening and a pleasant last day the next morning, I would have been out of my integrity. And I wouldn't have had the ability to create authentic power. Or I would have had it, but I wouldn't have taken that. That's another example of what we mean by integrity from the multisensory perception.
That's such a good example. If anyone wants to read more about that, you can. There's a chapter in the Soul Stories about that that tells about that. And I can tell you that that retreat, because it was about authentic power, and it was demonstrated by Gary. It was so amazing. I feel like I also created it because of my own process.
Yes, absolutely. That was a big process. Yeah. that started when my co-presenter and I left the circle to go out and talk with each other, to take a walk, because that's what he suggested. And it left Linda with a lot of agitated people, which means a lot of people who have frightened
parts of their personality.
Active. So, yes. Remember that the short way of describing authentic power is learning to distinguish love from fear in yourself and choosing love no matter what's happening inside of you or what's happening outside of you. What's happening inside of you could be frightened to do something, anger, resentment, jealousy, superiority, craving for food, craving for sex, craving to shop. What's happening outside of you could be anything. It could be another 9/11 type event. But creating authentic power requires that you choose love no matter what's happening inside or outside. That is what is required for integrity.
Well, I was thinking about the retreat. I just want to go back to that because it was about Gary being in integrity, but using his courage also, because he had to use his courage to be in his integrity. He had to say something, even though he had no idea what would happen. And what happened was a huge reaction by almost everyone in the retreat. I think there's only one person that didn't really react. The whole group did. And what actually happened, though, is that they did react, but then they were able to see and learn from their own reactions in such a deep way that I am certain that no one that came to that retreat will ever forget it. They'll definitely never forget that night or what happened the next day. They'll never forget that because it was so powerful, and there was no way to know what would happen, because before you act in integrity, before you do what you need to do, you don't know what will happen. So the most important thing is, one of the most important things is not to be attached. If you're attached, then you are not in integrity. If you're attached to what will happen. And also that you feel connection with the people.
Exactly.
Gary's case, it was his co-presenter. I know that you felt connection with him. You didn't feel distance after that.
No, I didn't. And while I was talking to him, I did. That was what I was challenging in me. Now, this doesn't have to happen in front of a group of 40 or 50 people.
No.
It can happen with one person.
Right.
Perhaps you see a spiritual partner saying something or doing something, and you think that that may be coming from fear. In other words, that a frightened part of her personality may be active. Now, to remain in integrity, in this case, it's the same as supporting your spiritual partner in creating authentic power, requires you sharing what you are thinking you see in a way that is supportive, with an intention that's loving, not an intention to make that person wrong or to judge that person or to be critical or right, but simply to share with an empowered heart. And without attachment to the outcome, and with a feeling of connection. And if you don't have that feeling of connection because a frightened part of your personality is active, then reach for a part of your personality that does feel that connection and act from there. That requires courage if you have a frightened part of your personality is active. And sometimes courage is required for integrity because you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know if you're going to lose the relationship altogether. You don't know if the person that you're sharing something with is going to say, that's not me, and it's none of your business, and leave. Now, I'm not suggesting that you say to anyone you're with whatever it is you think you see them doing, but if you are with someone you think is open and you care enough about that person, then to follow the spirit, the authentic power guidelines puts you in integrity. In this case, saying the things that are most difficult to say.
Yeah, it's the authentic power spiritual partnership guidelines, because it works whether it's you creating authentic power yourself or whether you are connecting with another person and supporting them as a spiritual partner, or they are supporting you as a spiritual partner.
Yes.
To work
as you,
that way.
As you probably know, we started out calling the calling the spiritual partnership guidelines the spiritual partnership guidelines. Then we knew at the time that they're identical with creating authentic power. If you follow the spiritual partnership guidelines, you create authentic power. So then we started calling them the authentic power guidelines. So don't get them confused. There's not two sets of guidelines. There's only one. And you can download it from the website. And whether you see the word spiritual partnership guideline or authentic power guidelines, those are the guidelines. Commitment, courage, compassion, and conscious communication and actions are the, you might say, categories. And then each of these categories has specific guidelines. And if you follow those, you will be in your integrity. So that means being in integrity is creating in love, is challenging fear. That's what integrity means from a multisensory perception. That's what it means from the perspective of your soul. That's integrity, alignment of your personality with your soul. And when you strive to do that, you are bringing yourself into integrity. You are creating real power.
Now, I think I want to give a different kind of an example from my own life that was it was about me being in integrity with myself. And it's always about that, but this particular case, I had been in denial about the situation that I was in financially for some time. And I had been with Gary a short time, maybe 9 months or a year, I'm not even sure, but we had just moved in together only a few months before. And I had this realization with a lot of pain that I had really not taken care of what I needed to, and I was financially not in a good place at all. And so I needed to really look at what I needed to do next. And I really wasn't sure, so I just felt this pain of powerlessness, very painful. And then I had this realization that I needed to do something. So I'm in Mount Shasta. I'm not creating the income that I needed to. And so I had a couple of options. I had something that I wanted to do in Mount Shasta, but I wasn't sure that that would work. The only way it would work is that if I had some money to do it. And it was actually to create the retreat, the first retreat. And the other option that I had was to move back to the Bay Area, where I knew that I could create what I needed to create. But I really wanted to stay in Mount Shasta, but it was a preference. I didn't have to, but I wanted to because I was with Gary, and but so I knew I needed to ask him. I had this intuition. I need to ask Gary for some money for a certain amount of time, and that I wouldn't have to ask him again for it. I had a certain amount that I needed for a certain number of months. And so I asked him, and it was really, took a lot of courage for me to do this, because I, you know, we didn't really deal with money with each other before that time. And so I just said, I need the certain amount for the certain amount of time to do this project that I wanted to do. And Gary didn't really realize, you know, that this retreat was going to be really a big thing that really ended up being something that we would do together for the rest of our time. So far, we've been continuing to do these things for all these years. And then the other thing was to move back. And so I told him, I said, you know, I need to borrow this money, and not borrow. I need this money for this certain amount of time. I may need to move back to the Bay Area. So either way is fine with me, and it was really fine with me at this point because I'd already gone through my process. And so Gary, I knew it wouldn't probably be easy for him because I was asking for a substantial amount of money. Thousands of dollars, and
which happened to be all that I had. this was a scary place for me because I didn't have much money.
Yeah.
And what Linda was asking for was just about that much, $7,000.
So anyway, I knew if I had that, if I was able to have that, that I would be fine. And so Gary thought about it for a while, and he came back and he said, well, I can let you borrow it. And I said, no, that won't work. And that was really hard for me to say, but I said, no, I don't want to get into more debt. That's not my intention. My intention is to use this and to create something so that I can live in a way that that will allow me to do what I really want to do. And so anyway, he agreed. And it was such a big act for me to be in integrity with myself, to really feel what I had created, what I'd been in denial about, and to actually take the actions to get exactly what I needed to do. And either way, it would have been fine. Whatever I did would have been okay. If I didn't get the money from Gary, I would have been back in the Bay Area and doing what I needed to do. Everything was fine. And I didn't feel any distance from you, no matter what you would have done. But I was really grateful that you decided to do that, and of course, I'm really grateful now.
In my experience, that didn't require any courage on my part, because once Linda was very clear that she didn't want to borrow any money, she already had enough issues with borrowed money in the form of a student loan, and if she didn't, if she wasn't able to get this money, she'd have to go back and pick up her chiropractic practice in the Bay Area again. Mm-hmm. And to my surprise, it took no deliberation on my part, giving Linda the money that I had on the one hand, and on the other hand, seeing her move back to the Bay Area, it was evident to me there was only one choice, and that was that being with her was worth more than whatever money I had at the time. So I was in integrity because I made a very healthy choice. But it didn't require courage in that particular case. Mm. So this is the way that we want to share integrity with you from a multisensory perspective, from the perspective of creating authentic power. Mm. So there's some steps that you can take to assure that you're in integrity. You can set your intention to be in integrity, especially when frightened parts of your personality are active.
And I was thinking about one. It's really important that if you know you're not in integrity and that you have frightened parts that are active, that don't want to be in integrity, that can't be in integrity actually, that you allow yourself to feel them, feel the pain, the real pain of powerlessness, so that you can see this is a frightened part of my personality and I no longer want it to control me.
That's right. In other words, create authentic power. Mm-hmm. That always puts you in integrity. Set the intention to be integrity. Choose to speak from the healthiest part, the most loving part of your personality that you can. Mm. Have no attachment to the outcome. Mm. And feel no disconnection. So in other words, when you look at the guidelines, you see those are 4 of 17 guidelines. Every time you follow the authentic power guidelines, you put yourself in integrity. So what's a brief way to know if you are in integrity?
Mm.
Do you feel connected with the people you're with? Mm. If you don't, then challenge the frightened part of your personality that's keeping you from doing that. Are you challenging any painful emotional experiences that you have and choosing not to act on them? Are you choosing to speak instead from a loving part of your personality? Are you bringing into the world the intentions of the soul, harmony, cooperation, sharing, and reverence for life? It feels good to hear those words. It feels good to say those words. Mm-hmm. And it feels good to act on those intentions because they come directly from your soul. Mm-hmm. They are soothing. They are nurturing. And those are the experiences of integrity. When you are in integrity, you are joyful. You are fulfilled. You are giving the gifts that you were born to give. Mm-hmm. So now is the time to practice integrity. Mm. Whatever you are experiencing, whether it's a reaction to this call, whether it's a neighbor who's loud, mm. whether it's an illness you didn't expect.
Yes, in fact, integrity really is about...
A little louder, beloved.
Integrity is creating authentic power. If you're in integrity, you are creating authentic power. You're in loving parts of your personality and you're challenging frightened parts. In other words, integrity, authentic power, and love are the same thing.
That's right.
I love that.
They are the same thing.